Heavenly Father, as we look deeper into your word today, help us to see it not just with the eyes of our natural eyes or with our natural ears. But Lord, help us to hear this message with the eyes and the ears of our hearts, to realize that you paid the ultimate price for us, and that we are in a relationship with you. Help us to realize that everything that we have is from you. Help us to realize, Lord, that you ask things of us as well, to serve you and to serve others in your name. We ask it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. This morning, we are continuing on our journey along the path to the cross. And this morning, we will be looking at one of the scriptures that tells us about one of the events that occurred before the crucifixion of our Lord. During this time of Lent, I think it is important for us not just to focus on what Jesus did for us, but it's also important to focus on how we will respond to him and what we are going to do for him. We need to ask ourselves, how are we going to live our lives in the light of Jesus' sacrifice for us? Are we going to take our new life for granted? Or are we going to live in a way that shows the world that the greatest miracle in all of history has occurred within us? That miracle being the salvation of our souls when we accept Jesus as our own and ask him to forgive us of our sins and become both our Lord and Savior. Once that great miracle has taken place in our lives, we really need to ask ourselves daily, how will we live out that reality, the reality of that miracle to those around us? And how are we going to serve God in our personal lives each and every day? These are the questions that are really presented to all believers, as they were to those who met in Bethany, as we saw in our passage this morning. In that home in Palestine, we see a situation play out that helps us to understand what true worship, true service, true submission really is. We learn about where the desire to worship the Lord really comes from and how we can go about it. You see, worship isn't something we just do for an hour here on a Sunday morning. True worship is how we live our lives each and every day of the week. Our passage tells us that it was 6 days before the Passover. That was the time when the Jewish people gathered together to celebrate and to remember the great miracle that God had done for them in Egypt. They would recall how the Lord had spared them, protected them, and provided a way out of their bondage and out of their slavery. Many people from all of the region were going and traveling to Jerusalem, where they would prepare for the feast by undergoing ritual purification. But the religious leaders of that time were very concerned, not about the Passover, but about this man by the name of Jesus and what he was doing to their religious establishment. They had heard that just 7 days earlier, Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead, a miracle that couldn't be confuted because of the many, many witnesses. This was just one of a series of events that had bothered them, and Jesus was at the center of them all. So they called a meeting. They discussed what was going on and what they should do about it. They had to do something about this man from Nazareth who was healing people by the hundreds, casting out demons, feeding thousands with just some bread and some fish, and now he was raising people from the dead. All wonderful, miraculous things, but it was affecting their religious institution. People were following Jesus, and these Pharisees were losing control. They were frightened that if he continued doing what he was doing, that the Romans would come and take away both their temple and their nation. So they decided to do something. They agreed that they had to put a stop to all of this. They needed to get rid of this Jesus and fast. So they plotted to take his life. Caiaphas, the high priest, said, "It is better for you that one man die for the people than that the whole nation perish." So right he was. But he was only thinking in worldly terms. Jesus was indeed going to die for you and for me. But at that time, the Pharisees wanted rid of him. They wanted this troublemaker from Nazareth right out of the way. We are told that they were even waiting for him at the temple and had given orders that if anybody saw him, that they should immediately report him to the authorities so he could be arrested. But we learn that instead of going straight to the temple, Jesus went to Bethany, a small village about 5 kilometers from Jerusalem. Jesus knew what lay before him. He knew that in a week's time that he would be nailed to the cross. So he went to stay with some friends, maybe just to say goodbye for now, or maybe for some fellowship and friendship, and maybe even for some comfort. We are told that Jesus went to the home of Mary and Martha, where they lived with their brother Lazarus. They must have known that Jesus was coming because they were preparing a dinner in his honor. And as usual, Martha was doing all the work while Mary spent her time at the feet of Jesus. This wasn't the first time that Martha was left to do all the work. In Luke 10, we are told of the time when Jesus was at their house before. And once again, Martha was working hard preparing dinner. Mary, however, sat at the Lord's feet listening to what Jesus taught. Martha became frustrated and went to Jesus and said, "Lord, doesn't it seem unfair to you that my sister just sits there while I do all the work? Tell her to come and help me." But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you are worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken from you, from her." I think that many of us at times can find ourselves in the same situation as Martha. We get caught up working too much. Life is busy. Even serving others and serving God, working hard around the church or in other ministries that are pleasing to God, but all our time is taken on doing things. And we don't have the time or don't take the time to spend time with Jesus. Work is important. Christian work is very important. But what Jesus was saying is the most important work for any Christian is to daily sit at the feet of Jesus with your Bible and in prayer, listening for what he has to say, receiving from him the strength we need to carry on for that day's work, and being filled with his Spirit so that we can truly be the hands and feet of Jesus to the world around us. We are told that as Martha was busy working away in the kitchen, Mary did something quite unusual. The passage says that she took a 12-ounce jar of expensive perfume made from the essence of nard, and she anointed Jesus' feet with it, wiping his feet with her hair. This pure nard would have been imported from northern India, and as we learn from Judas, it was worth about a year's wages. To those sitting there, this must have seemed absolutely bizarre, absolutely absurd. Here was this woman sitting at the feet of Jesus, giving what could easily have been her whole life savings to anoint Jesus before his death. It is at this point that Judas said what probably a lot of people were thinking. He said that perfume was worth a year's wages that should have been sold and the money given to the poor. That seems like a good point, right? But Judas didn't really care about the poor. He was the treasurer for Jesus' ministry, and we are told that he often stole some money for himself. He was more concerned with the bottom line, about how much money was in the money purse, and not about true ministry and devotion to Jesus. He showed later on that his devotion wasn't to Jesus, but really to himself and to his own financial gain, because he sold Jesus out for money. He didn't understand that the most important thing for the life of a believer is to sit at the Master's feet and give all of what we are and all that we have to him. You see, Mary didn't just pour out a little bit of perfume that day. We are told in Mark 14:3 that she went as far as breaking that jar wide open so that she could get every last bit of it. That really is what worship and giving is all about. Breaking ourselves, these earthly jars of clay apart, and giving to Jesus the very best of what we have. It's about giving our all to Jesus each and every day. That's what true worship really is. Mary sat to the feet of Jesus and gave him everything that she had. Not just that expensive perfume, but more importantly, her heart. Her priority in life. Her reason for living. Her hope, her joy. Her Savior and her friend was sitting right there before her, and she gave her all. I believe that seeing the extravagance of what Mary did can sometimes make us wonder. And we may ask, what does it take for a believer to truly give everything that they have? How do we truly worship the Lord? What makes someone truly step beyond the bounds of the ordinary to focus all of their hearts, their mind, and their strength upon God? Well, I believe that we can learn three lessons from Mary's life to help us understand what it takes to give our best to God. First, Mary just knew that everything that she had come from God. When we give back to him through our time and with our resources that he has given us, we are really just giving back to him what is already his. And we can never, ever outgive God. And when he sees that we are faithful with little, he will trust us with much, both in this life and in the life to come. The second truth that we can learn from Mary is that God-honoring giving and worship flows from a heart of gratitude. When we look at what Mary did for Jesus that day, I think that it is really plain to see that faithful discipleship comes from a profound sense of thanksgiving. Mary didn't give of herself out of obligation or religious expectation, but out of a heart of true thankfulness that was expressed in love. She gave because she was so thankful for what Jesus had done for her. Mary knew that Jesus was God. She had seen the miracles and would have heard Jesus say that he was God. She would have known the scriptures that say the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. She knew that everything that she had come from him, her life, her salvation, her very breath. I think that before we can truly give ourselves and what we have to the Lord, we need to come to this realization ourselves. We need to truly realize that everything we have has come from God. Our life, our talents, our skills, everything that we purchase and everything that we own really belongs to God. And it has been given to us, not just so that we can be blessed, but so that we can be a blessing to others. Jesus had given Mary his best, and so it was no big deal for her to give her best to him. She was eternally thankful for what Jesus did for her brother Lazarus by raising him from the dead. Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. There was no earthly hope of his return. But Jesus came and restored his life and gave him back to Martha and Mary. Lazarus had died and was called back to life again. And now, here was Jesus facing his own death. So out of such a thankful heart, Mary didn't even think twice about anointing him with this expensive perfume. It was Mary's profound sense of thankfulness that caused her to throw the dinner party for Jesus. It was a profound sense of thankfulness that caused her to break open that expensive jar of perfume that was worth a year's wages and pour it all over the feet of Jesus. It was her profound sense of thankfulness that moved her to wash Jesus' feet with her hair. Her profound sense of thankfulness was at the very core of her relationship with Jesus. During this time of Lent, and every day of the year for that matter, I think it is important for us to remember what we are truly thankful for. 2 weeks ago, we looked at the goodness test, and we all found out that according to Scripture, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But thanks be to God. Because of his grace and love, he made a way so that we could be saved, so that we could be born again when we repent of our sins and turn to Jesus. I believe that's the first thing that we should all be very thankful for. For Jesus' sacrifice so that we could have life. We also need to be thankful for our relationship with him so that we can have strength when we are weak, hope when situations around us seem hopeless, joy when the world around us can't even find true happiness. And the list goes on and on. Every day, we should be thankful for what the Lord has done. Even when things don't make sense, and even when the storms of life are hitting hard. I remember when I was little and felt sorry for myself. I was often told to follow the advice of the song that says, "Count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done." I believe that when we follow that advice, we will be like Mary, not giving, worshiping, and serving out of a sense of obligation or trying to earn points with God, but from a heart of true thankfulness. Lastly, Mary's actions in the passage teach us another valuable lesson on how to truly worship and give of ourselves to God. And that is that the gifts that we give to God need to cost us something. They need to be sacrificial to have meaning. True worship really isn't easy, just as it wasn't easy for Mary. It wasn't just the cost of the perfume that cost her that day. She risked being dishonored. She risked being rebuked for stepping outside of what was customary at the time. She ran the risk of being called crazy for serving Jesus in this way. She stepped outside of the way the world did things to spend time with the Lord and to serve the Lord. The truth is that when we make Jesus the priority in our lives, the world will think that we are kind of crazy as well. People around us and people who know us will wonder why we spend so much time serving God by serving, helping, and blessing those in the world around us. They will wonder why we take the time out of our busy schedules to pray every day. And they probably think it's strange that we take time to read this book called the Bible instead of sitting in front of the TV. But that's what true worship is, putting God first in all that we do. But the funny thing is, when the people around us see the changes that God has brought in our lives, they are going to want the same thing for their lives. Worship, as I've said, is not just something that we do here on a Sunday morning. Worship is not just what we do when we sing hymns or when we give our tithes and our offerings. These are acts or expressions of our worship. But they do not really define what true worship is. Because true worship is an extravagant love for God and an extreme submission to his way of doing things. True worship in our lives is really defined by the priority that we place on who God is in our lives and where God is in our list of priorities. What we give to God in worship is really an expression of who we are and what we value most in this life. If you want to truly know what someone believes and what they are most committed to, you don't need to ask them. Just see where they spend their time. Take a look at the groups and the events that they belong to and attend. See where they spend their money. And it will be evidence what they truly believe in, what their true focus is, what they truly worship, who they truly serve, and who is truly the Lord of their lives. Unfortunately for many, especially in North America and Western Europe, it is themselves. That is why we need to look at ourselves all the time, to see where our resources and where our time is being spent. It is something that we need to ask ourselves all of the time, especially as we approach Easter during this Lenten season. We need to ask ourselves and be honest with ourselves. Are we truly worshiping the Lord every day? Are we truly giving the best of ourselves to Him in thankful service? Where is the majority of our time and resources being spent? Where truly is our heart? Do we have the attitude that what we say, what we do, and what we think is all for Him? So at this time, as we approach Easter, we should all think about what Jesus has done for each and every one of us personally. And each one of us needs to decide if we are going to worship Him, love Him, and serve Him with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. Just as Mary did when she gave everything she had as she sat at the feet of Jesus.